Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, you owe reparation.
You owe me, homie.
Yes, you owe reparation.
You owe, and you gon' pay.
You owe us back.
Give it here, give it here.
Yeah. Gon' pay. Give it up. You owe us back.
Give it here, give it here.
Yeah. Gon' pay. Give it up.
I'm a lover and a fighter. Looks like an all-nighter. We can rumble. Call me queen of the jungle. I'm worse than storm. A cat woman. You can call me whole head. Little Harry and Tubman. They say you better bury. I ain't burying nothing. We want reparations. You gon' give up something. So make preparations. Cause I ain't leaving here with nothing. No, I'm here to take you with me. But I can leave it for my turn. Just like you did yours. When you burst across the shores. When you took it from my land. So we can build yours. But then you stole that too. They said Messiah, you started in trouble. They want me to hold back too. But take a look at our history. Let's go back through. Take a moment to listen to me. I don't know about you, but I can't forget what it did to me and the original crew. They got our peeps in the penitentiary. They targeting our youth. We better wake up or eventually we're gonna be through.
Isn't there a statute of limitations? Must we still be expected to pay reparations? Look at you. You're like Lazarus begging for our crumbs. You're getting hazardous, standing out there with your thumbs, begging for a ride. If that ain't the pot, calling the kettle black, we ain't gonna stop till we settle that. We got the block for a lock. We taking our people back.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome, welcome to Oracle's Read by Omeika 7 and Tribe. It is nice to be back in the room again. And I have been busy out on the Facebook doing Black History Month. I hope you've been following me as you always follow the leader and go out and listen to some of the Black History segments that I've created out on the Facebook. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting back to a long, long stretch here. So we are going to be bringing you a new series, and that series that we're bringing you, the parents can come in and listen because we definitely want you to be a part of this segment, parents. We are going to be talking about the prodigy child. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, some time ago I did a segment on the Destiny's Child, and this is similar to the Prodigy Child. And we're going to be talking about the makings of you, making the genius in a child, and how do we create child prodigies, and is there a formula out there of some sort that we can use, and if so, what is that formula? And mothers, can we recognize the genius in our child or our children? And if so, how do we cultivate that genius in that child and prep that child to go on to fulfill their dream? Now, we are going to be breaking this down into segments because there are several parts that I want to address. Number one, mothers visualizing their child into existence, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the child has to be present on this plane. He can be in the ethers, not yet born yet, and basically he can be perceived and prophesied and foretell to come. There's many of us mothers who have performed the immaculate perception. The immaculate perception that we want to define for you will talk about Mary and her immaculate perception, we would like to explain to you that there was no unique thing that happened in Mary, that every female has the potential of producing a male child. And in and of itself, when a male child is born, that is immaculate perception because of the fact that all eggs are born being females. They have to be made into a male child. That is why we have to understand that when they said Jesus was born in immaculate perception, Jesus was born because he was a male child, and that is a unique thing for women all over the world, not just Mary. And I want to break it down to you from a scientific perspective. If you are a science teacher or science buff, you probably already know this, that all males and mammals that are produced by certain animals, they all come here in the form of an egg, of a female egg. They have to fight to be created into that male, and that is a whole process. And some animals and instincts, there is a ritual that takes place. of the dancing of the bumblebee to create that male child. So we want to talk about the uniqueness in mothers perceiving children to come here to this earth to become genius or that prodigy child. They may not even be formalized in the womb yet. They may just be foretold of. The mother may prophesy of that child. The mother may talk about that child coming into existence. Now, here's my case in point, and I'm sticking to it. And this is coming perspectively from me personally. I definitely can identify with the vision of a child and the fact that one has the ability to call a child into being. Just like great leaders are called into being, based on the circumstance, we call our leaders forth. They are not just born. They're called forth because of the circumstances they must come to address. And just like our children, a mother may need that child in her life to address certain issues in that family's life that no one else can address but that child. So it's very vital that you understand that we have children that are not even born yet that are potential geniuses. And if we are praying woman and we stay on our face and we are resulting to our higher self and asking and requesting that they send us that prodigy child, then we may be graced with that prodigy child, maybe not in that particular year, maybe not in the next year, but we can perceive that that child is on its way. And in the event that we keep prophesying of that child will manifest himself. And if God really sees you as a praying woman and he wants to give you the desires of your heart, he will present that child to you, and that child will come as an immaculate perception. And if that mother is a holy woman and who has prostrated herself before God and who has believed that God will bring her that child, even in her olden age, that child still can be born. Now, let's get to the point. We're talking about child prodigies. Just what are child prodigies, and how do we identify them? Some of them are early learners. They have artistic abilities to articulate earlier, somewhere around 8 months or 6 months or so. They express themselves very well and know exactly what they want. Some of them also have the ability to have mother wit, as if they've been here before. They exemplify old people, just like somebody who has come back from the dead to reunite himself in that child, an old person. Then again, that child may also have the ability to come into the setting at a time when the mother most needs that child to soothe her or to bring some type of comfort to the family, some relief to the family. And that child then appears as if he is going to come as a king to be represented in the family, to help guide that family, and to help lead that family, and possibly even to knit that family back together and keep that husband and wife together so that they have a purpose now to raise that prodigy child. Now, let's raise up the phone line, ladies and gentlemen. Right about now, I'm going to ask you to raise up the phone lines, and I know it is early in the morning, but only just thought about these lines and thought how it was important for me to come on here because somebody needs this message. Somebody needs to know what to do with a prodigy child, how to determine if it's a prodigy child, and if there are tools out there to use to help cultivate a prodigy child. Yes, there are tools out there. Now, I know a lot of you mothers who have children in special needs and that are in your differentiated learning classes feel like your children won't ever get an opportunity to be in the gifted and talented. Well, let me tell you this, mother. Most of your special needs children are gifted and talented children. Most of the diagnoses go unnoticed about their gifts. There are a few African-American children who particularly go unidentified with their uniqueness. Some of them They have artistic ability through drawing, designing, creating music, and those are gifts and talents that go unnoticed, and they're placed in special ed, and they never get to cultivate their gifted and talented skills. I want you to be particularly careful about those children because those children tend to fall out of the school system early, and they go on to master their gifts, and they come out in the form of talented artists. And we see a lot of our talented artists who don't complete the traditional schooling and go on to be masters in music, reading, and writing music. And we have to look for those telltale signs. Then there are those children who ordinarily know what they want out of life and go after it. And those children are in our classroom. Sometimes they're acting out because we feel that they are disruptive. But we have to get to see the whole child and learn what we can do to cultivate that child's gift so that he is not bored in these classrooms. Now, I mentioned Mary. Let me say this, that Mary did not have a child on her own, and neither was a Holy Spirit presence there other than a man. God will not steer away from his scientific laws and principles. He will not defy his own science that he created. So therefore, they may have called Joseph the Holy Spirit, but he was a man that created and cultivated that seed in Mary. Now, some of you may want to go on and say that I'm touching up on their belief system, but I'm not. I'm being scientific and hoping that you will too, and understanding that Mary had to have some type of seed to come through her if a physical child was born. Now, I never believed that story when I was a child, and I don't believe it now. But it's your prerogative to go on and believe that. Well, we're talking about the makings of a prodigy child that has nothing to do with spookism. And let's get off that spookism stuff. This is Black History Month. It's time to be able to talk candidly with you about how we believe fairy tales for so long. Why don't we shake it off? Just shake it off. You got prodigy children right there in your home, and you're afraid to say so because someone will accuse you of being like Mary. Well, you are like Mary. We all have the potential of having a male child. That would make us a unique woman if we can produce a male child from female eggs. Now, what are some of the signs we see? We see that child can learn to be potty trained early. That child learns to articulate and express him or herself well at an early age, between 6 months and 7 months. They even start walking much earlier, maybe 8 months. Now, it was tested by several professors over in Africa that these African children that were born of non-Westerners, children began to develop and they thrive much faster and much earlier than the Westerners' children. Now, why is the African American no different? We still have the same intestines of the African, so we probably have the same potential in producing a prodigy child in our African American children. Now, mother, some of you have cried out, and I know, because I've been one of them, that cried out for a destined relief to be able to produce a child and have a child and to bring that child here at a certain particular time. Now, I don't know how many of you have asked God, God, will you produce that child for me on Thanksgiving Day, on New Year's Day, on Easter, or even on Christmas? A lot of mothers have asked God, allow them to deliver their child on Christmas. I know about this because I was one of them. I was one that asked God to send me a sign if he would send my child on Christmas Day. And me being like Mary, I told everyone, I'm having a child on Christmas Day. They looked at me as if I was crazy. I said, I know he's coming here on Christmas Day. And this was when I just was perceived to be pregnant, and I knew almost 7 or 8 months before he was even delivered. And I believed that God would honor my request and that he would send that child here on Christmas Day. And to this day, some of my family are still in awe of the fact that I proclaimed this child was coming. And we prepared for this child that was coming because we knew that God was going to honor this. And when he did come on Christmas Day, I began to realize that we all have the ability to produce immaculate perception. And you should feel the same way, women. You should all feel like you're able to produce an immaculate perception, just like Mary. Now, that's not what this story is all about. It's about cultivating that child once he gets here. It's about talking about what are we going to do about that child's learning, how are we going to be able to escalate that child's learning and put that child in a setting where he is definitely given the opportunities to be challenged so that he or she can do the work that they came here to do. Yes, they're definitely on task. They have a mission, and they're on purpose. Mothers, get out of the way. Get out of the way, Father, and make room for that child. He is here on a mission, okay? If he is a prodigy child, and we're using him as if he's an immaculate perception, 9 times out of 10, he will show his prodigy skill at a very early age. People in your family will say, oh, that child's been here before. That is just like my grandpa. He has been in this system a while. And they will look at that child, and that child will begin to speak. And out of the mouth of babes, that child will speak. And he will know the time and the temperature of this climate and be able to speak to the issues and woes of this world. That would be one of the telltale signs. We would see that child resolving riddles, answering questions, soothing some of the older children, giving advice, being able to just be a prodigy child, knowing what to do at the right time. Some people, they talk about these children that are off in different places, different lands, but they never include the African-American children. I don't understand why they have a place for the African-American children, and they tend to funnel those children in special ed. But teachers, you've got to get out there, and you've got to snatch those children back from the fire. You got to see their gifted ability, and you got to pull them out and get them in the STEM program. What does that mean? Science, technology, engineering, and math. Now, here's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Being an early prodigy child in science, I knew exactly what I was producing. I was producing a child that would be also a prodigy child that would go on to have a love for science and math. Just as I had a love for science at an early age, I was able to excel in the science area, and I wanted this to be the case for my prodigy child that I just had. So I had to make sure my environment was rich, first of all, with literacy, rich with various different language materials and print so that he could see the language written before him and that he had access to all of the tools to dismantle a subject or a product or a machine tool and put it back together. When we see children that are able to manipulate puzzles rapidly and to answer questions with our cubic tools and be able to rapidly figure things out that are required with mathematical tools and science, then we begin to start looking for the genius in the child. Sometimes we may even have to go and buy things that that child could dismantle and put back together. And we have to put it in the child's mind that there is some place for you, and you're not weird or you're not stupid or you're not dumb, but there's a special place for you, and we cultivate that place for the child and frequently allow that child to be in the presence of other children who have like interests. Now, seeing the genius in a child for engineering is what I was looking for. And I was looking for this because I figured if a child could solve problems, then that is the making of a genius that wants to be an engineer but doesn't know enough about the subject to tell you. So you cultivate it by putting tools and enrolling that child in programs where they can use their mathematical computation to figure out problems and solve problems. Most engineers are problem solvers. I had a chance to work as a scheduler planner with a group of engineers who were building a B-1 bomber. And as I began to build this B-1 bomber, and after my son was born, some of the engineers took interest in one of my sons and spent time with them cultivating and laying foundation for them to engage into the STEMS program. This was got the young boy started, and at the same time, I knew that I had to gear him in a direction that he would see how easy it would be for him to solve these mathematic problems. But what I'm here to tell you about is not my son, but to tell you, mothers, that you are cultivating geniuses right there in your home. And some of you are smart enough to be the first teacher without letting someone damage your child by telling him he cannot learn, by telling him he cannot master. Every child has the ability to master 80% of learning. Make sure your child masters 80% of learning and not just have a breadth of knowledge, but a depth of knowledge so that they are able to explain that particular subject to the depths of the highest percentage that he can so that they have a depth of knowledge and they can articulate on that level. Now, once again, we're talking about prodigy children. Sometimes our prodigy children are considered as weird, because they don't stick, they stick out like a sore thumb, but they don't fit in with the general norm of children. Sometimes they don't fit in at all because they're loners and they go off to themselves. But that is not the makings of a weird child. It's just the makings of a child that wants to stay on task and on top of his subject. Now, mothers, some of you have had very good luck with rearing your children from home and spending time and teaching your child at home as the first parents. Keep on doing that, because you are the first mothers and the first teachers of that child. But you have to make sure you have tools to work with. And I mean mathematic tools, and I mean even starting early as preschool, where you begin to allow that child manipulating puzzles, manipulating games, so that they can figure things out. If they're curious, the more curious they are, use something to develop their curiosity. Don't just shut them up and shut them down, or else you will lose them. You have a period of time when that window is open, when they are curiously learning, and there is also time when that window can close. So while that window is open, make sure you utilize it. Now, prodigy children, sometimes they get into a lot of trouble. And sometimes they act like grown-ups when they should be acting like children. And sometimes they speak out on things and they're an advocate for other children. And they are leaders. They're leaders in a community where they stand up against opposition. So that can get them in trouble. So teach them to harness their gifts and to utilize their gifts where it most counts the most. And make sure that they are in activities where they can be seen publicly and their skills can be utilized, because they're definitely needed while in the community. And some of them excel very well as early as middle school. Some others, you're going to have to put them into jobs where they can be in the community, and you're going to have to make sure that you enroll them for a license to work at 14 through their school and get the school involved and make sure that they keep that child stroked and motivated so his lights don't go out. That's right. Our children's light bulbs are on and their light in their eyes is on, but we tend to crush that light and smother it, and it doesn't come back on anymore, and a child loses interest for those things in academics that we want them to pursue. Now, let's talk from a spiritual perspective. Mother has a spiritual child in the home. The child's very wise about money, contributions and calculations and how to organize and govern the household. And he has better skills than a mother has, and a mother sometimes may resent that. Mothers, don't resent that. Cultivate that gift so that that child's gift will grow and develop. Sometimes they're nurturers, and they have the ability to nurture everybody in the family, and when somebody is sick, they always go to their rescue. And there are sometimes praying vessels who come here to encourage you, who have the ability to nurture you and spiritually guide you and let you know that God sent them to assist and aid you. And they'll let you know sometimes they're on loan from God and they're down here temporarily to help you out. And sometimes they can act like angels, as if they're coming here to assist you and aid you. But a prodigy child can be so much joy, and he can bring you so much happiness, or she can bring you so much happiness. But you have to know they're a prodigy child. They resent the fact if you do not acknowledge their gifts and talents. They want to be acknowledged about their gifts and talents. They don't necessarily have to have monetary gain, but they want you to acknowledge that they have skills and talents. And if they don't, they will fight you tooth and nail because they honor their skills and talents. Now, how many of you have prodigy children in your household? If you're out there in the chat room, I would like to see a show of hands. How many of you have raised a prodigy child and didn't know it until it was too late? Well, it's always good to go back to the child and say, and let them know, I knew you or she was a prodigy child, and I gave you your excess room you needed, and I allowed you to do things that I didn't allow my other children to do. And they'll come to you like a grown person and say, I don't need you to help me now, Mother. I can do it alone. And they truly can do it alone. But if they're your prodigy child, your gifted child, you tend to shelter them and crush them a lot. We got to give them some room to breathe and get off of them so that they can go on and manifest what they came here to do. They are manifestors, and sometimes they have more faith than you have, Mother. They can actually manifest things into being. Whereas you see that there's no hope or no probability of something happening, they are all faithful, and they believe in things they can't see. And they continue to encourage you to be faithful and be patient and to be long-suffering. Sometimes they come here to give us exactly what we don't have, and that may be faith and hope. And being able to cherish that, those tools, it might have to come from a child. And if a child can bring it to you, it's much more easier to be convincing that it will happen. You got to have childlike faith to believe things you can't see. And prodigy children, sometimes in the community, they do a lot of work in the community. And you see them standing up for issues. And you always call on them and say, let me get him over here. He'll get the job done. And you have to keep them working. And you have to use them while their light bulb is on and while they're capable and have endurance. Don't sit them in a corner ignoring them, and don't placate their gifts as if you don't need them around. Always demonstrate that you need them around and you have use for them, because they're like little angels that come here to aid and assist you. And if you don't utilize those skills, they will tend to suppress them. And when you want to call on those gifts, they won't be present to be called on because their light bulbs will have gone out. Now, there are a number of children that are in institutions right now because they are gifted and they're talented. They make connection, and their little antennas are connecting to their higher force. Because they're misunderstood, a lot of those children go undetected, and a lot of those children they get placed in institutions because parents don't understand them, nor can they cultivate them, so they go elsewhere to get the cultivation. Now, what do I mean by cultivation? You must have tools, mothers and teachers. You must have tools in your repertoire that will help to mentor that child and proctor that child, and you must keep them busy and engaged at all times. Never a moment where they're just sitting in front of a tube wasting time, because their creative minds are moving a mile a minute, and they will not accommodate you when it comes to just sitting down watching TV. They must have something more. And you must allow them to travel. You must allow them to travel and to be adventuresome, but you have to be there in the background as an advocate to make sure that they're doing it the proper way and not getting in trouble. Because some of these children sometimes do and can get in trouble without proper guidance. And special ed departments don't do a very good job of identifying these gifted and talented children. They label them as troublemakers. They say that they're learning disabled, and that's the end of their chapter, and their story never gets told. Well, I'm telling this story today. I have worked with some of the most gifted children in my life, and one of them I would like to put on spotlight tonight, and he was my favorite child. For 2 years, I had the pleasure of molding and working with this prodigy child. And the reason why I know he was a prodigy child, his mother handled him with such care and was so particular about the learning he would get. The grandmother, I mean, she even came to class with him to make sure that the learning was just right for him. And once she found out that I was going to put the type of training and learning in her child, she finally decided to stop coming every day. But that child stayed with me for 2 years. And I'm telling you, I was very impressed. His name is DeJure Curtis, and he found me on Facebook. He found my son to tell him what a great teacher I was and how I cultivated his gift and how I protected him so that he could shine and stand out. Every chance I had an opportunity, I would allow him to go on stage to demonstrate his ability to articulate and to read verbatimly at a fourth grade level while in kindergarten. This child was so fantastic in all of his delegating ways. He was a little leader in the classroom, and sometimes on the playground he got in trouble for that because he wanted all the children to follow him or else he would beat them up. So the principal wasn't very happy with that. I had to take the principal aside and tell him that this is a child prodigy child, and he's a little bit more boisterous and a little bit more demanding. And at the same time, he didn't care. He figured he was going to line up and do what all the other children did. But nevertheless, to make a long story short, DeJure went on to play athletic sport, and he went on to college. And after he got in college, he contacted me to let me know that I made a difference in his life and how he went on to challenge higher learning. I know he's somewhere doing extremely well. I'm going to try to get him on the show to talk a little bit about his experience as an athlete and how he's doing academically in school. But in my book, every subject I taught, he mastered it. If it was social studies, he mastered it. If it was mathematics, he mastered it. And if it was reading, he mastered it. I thought the child had been here before. I wondered, is there anything that I can teach this child? And yes, there was. I taught him humility. I taught him about prayer. I taught him to be patient. And I taught him that he has to form a team of people that he can trust and that one man can't do it alone. So we became his haven. We became his tribe. And when we got together during this crisis time, we helped them through the hard time. But this was our child prodigy. And everybody in the class knew I favored him, and everybody in the town knew he was the smartest. Well, as DeJure, he is the smartest. He should know DeJure knows everything. So this is how he was perceived by his peers. But nevertheless, I saw him growing and growing to the point where when I did the looping, they insisted he go with me to my first grade class. So he looped on to the first grade and went upstairs with me. And I watched him perfect and more perfecting. As you know, Africans, they don't just grow. We perfect. We master. And after he mastered so much, I began to use him as a little buddy in the class to work with groups of children who needed more help. And we taught those children how to help the next children. And in African teaching, that's what we do. We teach a subject very well, and then we let groups and teams get together and to teach each other to master this subject. We work to mastery. So you can create child prodigies in just about any child. They don't have to be born here with a genius in them. You just need to see the genius in their eyes and allow them to trust you and to learn to respect and love you, then a child will perform for you in the best of his ability, and then the genius will come out. And then as long as you don't suppress it and shut that child up and sit that child down, you can manifest a genius in just about any child, as long as that child respects you and comes to you for encouragement and believes in you. He wants to give you his utmost best or her utmost best. So it's very vital for us to see the genius in a child at an early age and not to suppress it. And mothers, some of you need to come in the classroom and to observe the way it's done in the classroom. And if that child has much respect for that teacher and really, really wants to learn, come to school to see what that teacher is teaching and find out how you can mimic that at home. Because I had more parents coming to me saying, I just had to come up here and see who you were. My child has been talking about you, and he wanted me to come and see you, and I came. And I said, well, we're working together. Your child is helping me, too, in this class. As a matter of fact, he's going to teach a lesson today. And that's another thing, teacher. Don't be afraid to let your child model you and come up and demonstrate. Because what we're trying to do is build enough stamina in these children that they will replicate what we stand for. And a lot of girls tend to model the teacher and acting prissy and sweet and kind and polite. But we don't ever tell our boys to model the teacher because we're afraid of them being feminine. Don't be afraid of that. The boys will take the best feminine aspect that a female teacher has to offer, and he will utilize that to be a manly person and demonstrate kindness within himself. A lot of times we teach young men that they can't be kind and they can't be courteous, so we don't want them to go away with that particular characteristics of a female teacher, but it's all right. So, and talking about the prodigy child, where is the genius? How do we know that what that stands for? And what tools can we give that child? Plenty of written tools, plenty of tools in print, plenty of ability to manipulate puzzles and manipulate tools in a computer room. And we certainly have to understand that they have to have their position on things and their philosophy. And we don't want to ever tell a child that they don't have anything to say on the subject. Every child has something to say on the subject. Now, mothers, child prodigy children can be very, very disruptive in the household, because if they're your favorite and you're putting a lot of energy in that child and very little in the rest of them, guess what? The rest of your siblings are certainly going to tell you that he is your favorite and that you are giving him all the attention. And you might be, but you have to watch that, because you will lose all your other children because you're molding this child and putting so much attention in him. Now, I've given you some tools for child prodigy. I want you to also call back on this line to talk more about child prodigy, and I will be featuring child prodigy again for you. And when I can get back on the show, I will come back and I will present to you child prodigy 2. Then we talked about the makings of a child prodigy. When the child is born, we look at his development to determine how that child is going to function in this world. Is that child demanding? And does that child have destiny in his eyes? And is he rushed? We might make sure that our children are not hurried and rushed. We slow them down because life moves fast enough. We don't want a hurried child. A hurried child tends to get into a lot of accidents. We want to create lap time for those small toddlers and preschoolers where they can sit long enough and be patient. Because once they learn patience, they can think things through without going headstrong on a subject or a topic. A lot of children who are smart are very headstrong because they want to do it all. But you must slow them down to make sure that they don't get in trouble with their churning or rapidly moving brain. These are children that have faster brain and they're thinking much faster than they can speak. Now, I've given you all that I'm going to give you on this topic tonight, and I'd like to say thank you so very much for listening to my topic on the Child Prodigy, Part 1. We will be giving Part 2, and we will ask for your support, and we will ask that you come in with questions, and not only questions, with solutions, because we can't give you everything, and we don't know it all in this segment. But we will be back with you again before the week is out, either Friday or Saturday, to talk about Prodigy Part 2. If I can come back tomorrow, we will. We're doing quite a bit of work on Facebook, so go out and join us there and enjoy your Black History Month. And I will say this much, Black History Month was very special to me, and our children constantly recited affirmation, and I often told them that upon reciting your affirmation, you become that affirmation. And one of the affirmations that I put throughout the school district, the young children tend to internalize, and they knew that something was great that was expected of them. Expect greatness out of all your children, not just one or two. And don't wait longer for the girl to respond than the boy. Give them same ample time to respond and expect them to be able to rise to the level of the occasion, and they will. And if you give them all A's before they start and tell them they're all a winner and that they can achieve, then they all will rise to that level of occasion. So find a genius in all of your children, not just in one or two, but give them a chance to shine every chance you get. And let their moon shine, too, and let them be in front and demonstrate. Children like an opportunity to express themselves. And give them that circle time, no matter what age they are. Give them that circle time to express themselves. And we'll be back with you again this week. So stay tuned for the Omi Inca 7 and Tribe with Oracle Reads, and I will see you. And straight ahead and into the future, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Straight ahead and into the future, Garland, Texas. Straight ahead and into the future, Gary, Indiana. Straight ahead and into the future, Crown Point, Indiana. And straight ahead and into the future, Detroit, Michigan. Oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all. Take care.